Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Good morning. For those of you who are just joining us online, I would like to welcome you to Broadway. Please let us know you are worshiping with us by commenting below or filling out that Connect form. So as I was preparing for this Sunday, I was reading a reflection by another pastor about this particular text that we're going to read here in just a moment from John's Gospel. And as he was reflecting, he said, early in my ministry, I regularly heard two comments after being introduced and identified as a pastor. The first was, "You don't look like a minister." And he said, to this day, I can't figure out what would lead someone to believe that I don't have the appearance of a member of the clergy. Perhaps it's because I don't wear a clerical collar, or maybe it's because of how I dress. And he said that the second comment I often received that never set well was, "You're too young to be a pastor." And I would say that this is a true reflection that many pastors go through. You're too young, you don't look like a pastor, whatever that means, like somehow we're supposed to like be glowing white. I don't know. Even Aaron said that to me when we met. You don't look like a pastor. Or in my case, this was a male clergy, but well, you can't be a pastor, right? Because you're a woman. And often these comments, like this pastor was reflecting, do take a toll on how we perceive ourselves, asking questions like, well, maybe I am too young. Maybe I am inexperienced. Maybe I haven't garnered enough wisdom to have this position. Who's going to follow me? And maybe in your own profession, whatever that might be, maybe you have that own negative self-talk. Well, maybe I don't know enough. Or maybe I don't have enough experience. Or maybe someone else would be better for the job. Maybe it's not in your own professional life. Maybe it's in your home life. And you think, well, I'm not equipped to be a parent. Anyone else think that the day they had their first child? Yeah, I know I did. I was like, what? They're going to send me home from the hospital with this thing? Okay. Or maybe it's when your pastor calls and says, hey, I really need your help with something. Could you lead this team? I've never done that to any of you, have I? And you think to yourself, well, I don't have the experience or the knowledge, or I don't know the Bible well enough, or there's so many people that are better than me. And we have this negative self-talk about who we are and what we are capable of. On this fourth Sunday in Lent, we encounter someone who has a lot of negative talk around him about who he is, about if he's good enough or deserving enough of the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Even in the text itself, John does not give him a name. And he has a little bit of a self-provided biography that the community ascribes to him. They name some qualities about this man that Jesus meets. We hear that he's a blind man. We've heard the story of the blind man, right? We're going to read it here in just a minute. We hear in the text that he's a blind man, and he's been so since birth. We hear in the text that the community believes that he and his family are notoriously sinful. And the third thing that we hear in John's gospel is that he sits and he begs for assistance around the streets of Jerusalem. The community, including some of the people that follow Jesus closely, some of his own disciples, have prejudice and little to no empathy for this man because of who they believe he is. And I think often in our society, we see someone or have an assumption about someone based on how they look, how they dress, how they act, where they live, what kind of car they drive, what kind of home they live in or don't live in. And we wonder what they are deserving of. So hear now this story from John's Gospel. The lectionary, which is what we're following over the season of Lent. The lectionary is a series of texts that's prescribed to the church to follow. And there's always an Old Testament reading, a psalm, a New Testament reading, and a gospel reading. And so this week, we've been looking at the gospel readings for the past several weeks. We're also going to look at the gospel reading this week. But the lectionary has 41 verses to read. And so we're going to read them all eventually, but we're not going to read them all right now. I'm going to break it up just a little bit this morning. So all I have on the screen is the first 15 verses. So did I say 50? 15. It's not that many. There's some that are short. All right. We're going to read from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. It says this. As he, meaning Jesus, walked along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and he made mud with his saliva and he spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and he washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had sent him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some of them were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." But the man kept saying, "I am the man." But the crowds kept asking, "Then how are your eyes opened?" And so he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and he spread it on my eyes and he said, 'Go and wash.' And then I went and washed and I received my sight." And so they started asking, "Well, where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." So they brought to the Pharisees this man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "Well, he put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see." This is the word of God for the people of God. The crowds in this story have a perception of who this man is. Even the disciples who have been walking along with Jesus as he has been performing miracles, as he has been working with the outcast and the marginalized. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Well, this man's blind, so who sinned? Was it him? Was it his family? Like, obviously something's wrong with him. He did something bad to be blind, right?" And Jesus says, "No, no. He didn't sin. His family didn't sin. He's blind so that God can use this man to do something great." So often, there are perceptions of what we can and cannot do, or what someone else thinks we can and cannot do. And Jesus says, "No, whatever your faults, wherever you fall short, whatever makes you different, whatever the world doesn't like is a gift. It's a gift from God that you can use to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, in this story, Jesus sees the man in an entirely different light. He knew that this man needed healing, but instead of leaving him high and dry, he vows, it says, to do the works of God who sent him. And so in this story, it's not very COVID-friendly, right? He spits on the ground and makes mud and wipes it on his eyes. We're supposed to be like Jesus, but please don't spit on people. But this miraculous act that Jesus fulfills in this moment is by taking something so simple as mud and wiping it on the man's eyes, and he is able to see. Now, we would assume, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was in church and somebody came in blind and then some guy walked in and made mud out of spit, first of all, I would tell him he needs to use hand sanitizer, but that's beside the point. If he started to do that and suddenly this man could see, you would think that'd be a time for celebration, right? They'd be like, whoa, look at how awesome that is. Look at how amazing that is. Well, that's not what happened in the story. In fact, they begin to question even more. Members of the community, even the religious leaders themselves, start asking questions to make sure they understand what had just transpired. So if we read on in the text, I am going to read the rest of it. Get ready. If you want to follow along, we're in John chapter 9. We're going to start in 16. Otherwise, you can just listen. So some of the Pharisees said that, well, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. Right? Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That's not okay. Others said, well, how can a man who's a sinner perform such signs, right? Healed on the Sabbath, he's sinning. He couldn't possibly do this. And they were divided. So they started asking the blind man, well, what do you say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. And so the blind man said, well, the unblind man said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and that had received his sight. So then they called the parents of the man who had received his sight, and they said, is this your son who you say was blind? How does he see? And the parents answered, we know this is our son, and he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that he sees, nor do we know how his eyes were opened. Ask him for yourself. He's of age. He can speak. The parents said this because they were afraid. So the parents said again, he is of age. Ask him. So the second time they called the man who had been blind and they said, give glory to God. We know this man's a sinner. And so he answered, I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know is I was blind and now I see. And so they said, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he said, I've already told you, you wouldn't listen. Do you want to hear it again? And so they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoke to Moses, and as for this man, we don't know where he comes. And the man answered, well, here's an astonishing thing. You don't know where he comes from, but he opened my eyes. You know that God does not listen to sinners, but he listens to one who worships and obeys. Never since the world began has anyone heard of that someone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man weren't from God, he could do nothing. And it goes on, and eventually they cast the man out. They say no, leave. And Jesus ends up having another encounter with this man. But in the story, the religious leaders, those in the community, just could not wrap their minds around what Jesus had done. And they start making lots of assumptions. They say things like, well, if this man was healed on the Sabbath, then we have to figure out who this guy is because he broke the law, right? And they start saying things like, well, if this man had truly been healed, how do we regard him? How do we regard his parents? What does this say about everybody else we've determined to be outside of our favor? What does this say about Jesus? What if this message of healing and new creation starts to catch on? What's it going to do for us and our power and our place? We do this too, right? We say, well, if something breaks our expectation or bends them just a little, we start to question everything else. We start to question who really deserves love, who really deserves help. And Jesus answers this clearly, that everyone does, that everyone deserves love, that everyone deserves help. And it starts to, in this season of Lent, to make us question some of our own assumptions. Maybe we're too quick to judge and condemn. Maybe we turn religious devotion as a way to marginalize other people. Maybe we use the church and scripture as a way to exclude rather than as a way to include. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus has a very inclusive ministry. Jesus welcomes those that no one else wants. Jesus heals those that no one else would touch. Jesus allows people to touch him that are dirty. Jesus shatters all expectations. And part of this text is to remind us that we too are called to go out, as our district superintendent would say, to serve the least, the last, and the lost. To help the hopeless, the unloved, the untouchable. Beth this morning read for us a familiar text. You're welcome for giving you an easy scripture this morning. Yeah. I didn't do that to Bill last week. but Psalm 23 uses this unique image of God. It says, I am the shepherd, right? Jesus calls himself shepherd. In fact, in the next text in John, he also calls himself a shepherd. But God reveals himself as shepherd in Psalm 23. And it's an interesting metaphor. Probably one that we don't understand today, because I don't know about you, but we don't have a lot of shepherds running around. Anybody know any like modern day shepherds? I don't, right? I mean, I know like farmers, but I don't know any shepherds that just like go find lost sheep. We have dogs for that now, right? but shepherds then were considered, were not considered to be respectable or trustworthy in their communities. Shepherds were not people that you would think of as someone that God would call God's self. Shepherds were often poor and dirty, right? They're out in the fields. They're not these stand-up religious leaders, these wealthy, powerful people, and that's who God identifies with. God identifies as the shepherd, the one who comforts us, the one who guides us. If you know anything about sheep, sheep are very stupid, right? Right? So are we. We are ignorant and too proud and stubborn sometimes. And yet it is God who guides us. This is the metaphor that God uses to find the lost, to find the outcast. And so friends, over these 40 days that we've been in this series of Lent, we've been asking ourselves, well, where can we find love? Where can we find acceptance? And sometimes it's not in the ways that we think. It's not bound by the rules that we like to prescribe, but it's found in the shepherd, the one who guides us and leads us and shows us the way. Let us pray. Oh God, I give you thanks this morning for your word, for being our good shepherd, for showing us a new way to see the world. God, just as you opened the eyes of the blind man, may you open our eyes this day. May you allow us to see your children more clearly. May you allow us to love more fully. And God, allow us to seek you in all of our days. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.